you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, February 7th, 2023. All right, listening friend, hold up your hand if you've heard the last three broadcasts from Dr. David Webb, yesterday and last Monday and Tuesday. Oh, I know there's a bunch of you that have been really blessed by his teaching on Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. We've received a lot of great feedback, appreciate your comments, and I trust today again God will use the broadcast to encourage you and to challenge you to follow through on these four imperatives that he's been discussing and will finish up with today about divesting, getting rid of those things that slow you down, that hinder your walk with the Lord, those besetting sins that hinder us from being faithful disciples and disciple makers. The second imperative, run the race. Run the race that's been set out for you. You have your own unique race that God has you on. And today we'll conclude with the last two imperatives, to be focused on Jesus and to consider what he did on our behalf, how Jesus interacted with people, especially those opposed to him. I'll air again a few remarks that Dr. David Webb made about running the race, and today and yesterday and last Monday and Tuesday's broadcasts are all archived at greatnewsradio.org, that's greatnewsradio.org, and wluj.org, wluj.org, under the Mark and Friends tab. Here's Dr. David Webb, a local physician, Bible teacher, and faithful follower of Jesus.
Faithfully trusting as you run that race, obedient to keep on the course, steady, relentless, not able to be deflected, patient. I like to think of it as being faithful prodders in the race. Here's three little quotes. When we run a race, the obstacles will not daunt our race. When we run a race, delays will not deny our finish. When we run a race, discouragements will not take our hope away. We run a race with perseverance. I regard perseverance as maturity. In Romans chapter 5, verse 3 to 5, it says this, "Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope, and hope does not disappoint, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit." You see, when we run with perseverance, we gain in maturity. We trust more. We rely more on God. Let me give you two practical examples. Some of you know my good friend Denny Hatcher. Hatch is a great runner. He one time convinced me to run a race, just a 2-mile race. Now, I am not a runner. I am the worst runner. But Hatch is a great runner. And we ran this race in a pouring down rain. And he, of course, ran right out front and actually finished long before I even got to halfway mark. But about that point, I was so soaking wet and tired, I was thinking to myself, I could just step off the side here and find myself in the crowd. Nobody would know that I've left my race. Well, just about the time I was about to do that, here appears Hatch. He had finished his race, came back in, and he was spurring me on. "You can do it. You can finish it. You can make it. It's not too far. Go for it. That's the endurance, the perseverance that we need to have. Jim Risley is a track coach here at Mahomet, and he's retired now, but he used to coach the girls' track. And he would particularly love seeing the girls who were not good runners finish their race. Mm. And he would stand at the finish line, and he would be so excited when these girls finished and did their personal best. He was more excited about them finishing the race with their personal best than he was about the one that got the ribbons. Mm. This is the type of perseverance we're talking about. This is how we run this race. And there are no exceptions, men and women. You will finish well if you run the race marked out for you. Paul says in the book of Philippians, scripture that you are well aware of, chapter 1, verse 3-6, I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion until the day of Christ's return. You will finish your race. You will finish it, and you will be blessed as you run the race. You've heard of runner's high? Runner's high, they tell me, I've never experienced it, is when somebody really feels like they're on top of this race. They're gliding along. They feel the fullness and the shalom and the peace and the joy of this race. Well, that is the blessedness that you can have, that we can have as we run this race, mapped out for us by God himself. And remember, at the end of the race, at the end of your life, there's rewards for doing it, rewards of eternity. And you are in good company. You are like all those witnesses. You are running the race in good company.
I like how you mentioned marked out for us. If, in fact, we look at it that God is leading, God has designed our course, God is behind it all, he will equip us to finish well. We just have to lean into him or rely on him or entrust ourselves to him or just say, Lord, I can't do it myself, but with you, because you've marked out the course, we can do it together.
Absolutely. And I'm going to close this second imperative with a statement from Paul in 2 Timothy 4, 6-8. This is Paul's race. He says, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. Mm. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Mm. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. The second imperative is we run the race with perseverance. Third imperative of discipleship is found in verse 2. Verse 2 says this, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Hmm.
The third imperative is focus. Focus. Now, what does it mean to focus? Focus is, as a medical person, I think of glasses that take and allow us to see with our eyes a specific thing and a certain focal length. We can make what we're looking at clear, well-defined, and the things maybe a little further beyond it or closer become just a little bit blurred. So focus means make things well-defined and allow it to direct your life. What do we focus on? Well, we focus on two things. First, we focus on the person of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to point out to something that's in the Greek of this scripture, and that is the use not of Christ, but we focus on Jesus.
Mm.
We're not focusing on the exalted, enthroned Christ. We're focused on the Jesus who ran his earthly race of faith. He ran it, and he completed it, and he was victorious over sin, death, and Satan. We're focusing on how Jesus ran his race. Remember when he set out, marked his disciples two by two?
Mm-hmm.
And they had seen in their master how to run the race. And he said, now I want you to put those principles in effect. I want you to focus on me and run your race. Many, many years ago, there was a little wristband we used to wear. Remember that? WWJD. What would Jesus do? That's the focus. How would Jesus have me run this race? How can I focus on him? One of the books I wrote was called Riding Bikes with Hands in the Air. And the secret with riding bikes no-handed is two things. One, you have to focus in the distance. And two, you got to pedal hard. And so when you focus on Jesus, you're keeping your eyes on him and you're pedaling hard. You're running with such a state that you can keep going.
You know what? I also thought of the word balance, too. Because keeping balance in life and balance on the bike, you know, there is always a balance with our relationship with God and those that he created in his image. Keeping that balance, focused forward, and then, pedaling hard, doing your part.
And the writer says there's two parts of Jesus I want to really have you focus on. One is he is the author of our salvation. Mm. What's that mean? He's the heart of it. He's the gospel. He came, he died, he rose. He is the one that took our sins. He is the gospel himself. Mm. We focus on the fact that he is the author, the pioneer, the person who brought the true substance of our salvation. Not only that, but he's the perfecter. He was the perfect disciple.
Mm.
And men and women, let me remind you what I read to you from Colossians. We are in Christ Jesus. Mm. Now, if he's the perfect disciple and we are in him, he can bring us more and more progressively to a higher and higher perfection. He has given us that Holy Spirit, the power, the strength, the wisdom, the discernment, so that we may run more perfectly our race. Mm. So the first thing we focus on is the person of Jesus. Now, the second thing the writer says that we should focus on is his attitude, the attitude of Jesus. And what was the attitude of Jesus? Joy. Joy. And what is joy? What is that? What is joy? Joy is that deep inner satisfaction that was in us that lets us know that we are in Christ Jesus. It's the shalom, that everything is now what it should be. That's the joy. You see, when Jesus ran his race on earth, he did it with joy. When he was put on the cross, it says he endured the cross and he scorned the shame. What does it mean to endure? Endure means to face it head on, to take it all in, to not run from it. Jesus said, no, I don't need a sedative to die on a cross. I want to embrace my death because this is necessary. He endured the cross. We must endure our race. Mm. If there's problems, we endure it. We endure it because of a joy that we're looking for. What was Jesus' joy? How could he endure the cross and not be affected by the scorn and the shame of the onlookers? Because he had joy. What was his joy? His joy was that he was going to return to his place of exaltation. Mm. If we had time, we could look at Philippians 2, verses 6 through 11, and he is saying that he's looking forward to being reunited with the Father and at the throne room of God. But what else was his joy? To bring us, his creation, back to the life that he wanted for us. And in Romans 8, 22, 25, talks about the creation longing and groaning to be brought back to Jesus. That's the joy. That's the joy that he had as he endured his race. Likewise, our joy is to endure whatever race you're called to run, and to enjoy the blessedness of that race. That is the unparalleled fellowship of the Spirit as you run your race, the shalom of knowing you are doing what God has called you to do, knowing that at the end you will be the rewarded, just like Paul said in 2 Timothy. enjoy the unity of other believers also running your race.
And I also think of, I can't cite the verses, but there's implications that we can bring pleasure to God, that we can bring joy to God, which we can't even really fathom, but our obedience, our discipline, that's what Jesus, by faithfully following God's plan for him, he brought joy to the Lord, and we can, which is amazing.
It's amazing, isn't it? To know that we, in the fullness of the deity, live in that fullness in Christ Jesus, can also bring joy to the Father as we faithfully and within perseverance and endurance run our race. Mm-hmm. That brings me to the fourth imperative, Mark, the final one that is found in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. Mm-hmm. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Now, first of all, you ought to ask yourself, what does the concept consider mean? We see that a lot in Scripture, especially in Hebrews. Consider means carefully calculate. Focus intentionally. Give undivided attention. Be clear-headed, fix your eyes, give highest regard to whatever it is that you're considering. And what does imperative say that we should consider? Consider Jesus, who endured opposition. We focused on Jesus the person, we focused on his attitude, but now we have to understand, consider, carefully calculate, and understand how he dealt with the opposition from sinful men as he ran his race. Because we also will know opposition. You see, Jesus had a lot of opposing people, you know, Herod and Pilate and the Pharisees and Caiaphas, and yet he ran his race in a beautiful fashion, enduring it and dealing in love but with power and authority for those who opposed him. Paul's example is a good one in 2 Corinthians 11. I won't read that, but if you read 2 Corinthians 11, you see Paul's example of how he dealt with the opposition that he encountered day in and day out. And remember, who is being written to by this writer of Hebrews? It is this struggling church who is struggling against the opposition of the Roman Empire at the time, and thinking of giving up their focus on Christ Jesus so that they can save their own situation. And this imperative in verse 3 says to them, you, men and women, I know you're hurting, I know you're struggling, but think of, calculated, focus on how Jesus dealt with opposition. And that brings us to you and me, to us. Because if you go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10 through 17, you, however, Paul's talking to Timothy, you, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, and the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord restored me from all of them. In fact, and here's what I want you to hear, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. You will run your race, but there will be opposition. There may be persecution. I remember when I was a fourth-year medical school in Temple University College of Medicine, I wanted to take 6 months and go to an Africa mission and have an experience as a missionary. And the dean of the medical school actively came to me and tried to talk me out of it. He said, it's a waste of time. You won't learn anything. You won't be prepared the way I want you to be prepared. The world's going to oppose you in all different ways as you run your race. So you got to consider Jesus. Consider how he dealt with the opposition. How to endure the opposition? With the word of God. How to endure the opposition? With the example of Jesus, the example of other in that stadium, those witnesses, the stories of faith that we hear from one another. We endure the opposition by the proper body life as we interact with each other. We endure the opposition by prayer. We allow the Holy Spirit to have a bigger place in our life. And we understand the opposition. We understand Revelation. We understand Matthew 24. We understand that. And finally, we put on the armor of God in Ephesians 6. You got to put it on. You've got to run your race. Seems ironic. I said, at first, you take off all your clothes. Now I'm saying, but put on the armor of God. So the picture is naked with the armor of God, running the race for Christ Jesus. So what are we saying in conclusion? I'm saying that Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 3, speaks deeply, convicts us strongly of how we are to run the race of discipleship. We are to divest ourselves of the sin that entraps us. We are to get rid of the weight of hindrances. We are to run your race that God set out for you with perseverance and endurance. You're going to do it focusing on the person of Jesus and to have the attitude of joy as you endure your race. And you're to consider, concentrate on how Jesus dealt with opposition, and so that you can properly, lovingly, and powerfully deal with the opposition that will come as you run your race of discipleship.
That was Dr. David Webb teaching on Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. The conversation was recorded in my home studio, and I placed it into four parts last Monday and Tuesday, and then yesterday and today. All programs are archived and can be heard anytime at greatnewsradio.org, also at wluj.org under the Mark and Friends tab. Well, if you've been encouraged and blessed by Dr. David Webb's teaching, he does a lot of preaching at the Open Room. He can be found most Sundays at 9 a.m. at the Open Room in downtown Mahomet, Illinois. That's when the Grafted Fellowship congregation meets. It's a wonderful smaller group. I attended this past Sunday, and I love how they have times of sharing your God sightings, interacting like a small group discussion. Then there's some preaching and worship, closing out with times of prayer. And you can call the station and we can give you more information in case you want to attend some Sunday. But they begin at 9 a.m. at the Open Room in Mahomet. And also Dr. David Webb leads a men's Bible study each month. It's the third Saturday in every month from 7 to 8:30 in the morning. And that's attended by anywhere from 20 to about 35 men. So men, I extend an invitation to you the third Saturday of every month to be at the Open Room at 7 a.m. for a men's Bible study. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with Great News Radio, a ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.